to see you.
Very good. Have a good Shabbos.
Well, have a good Shabbos. Yeah, thank you so much. How are you?
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you know, Mark. Yeah, you'll see right behind where Rabbi Weed is sitting. You know, you'll see.
Okay, okay, I know.
Okay. News from New York, good news.
My mother was doing a little bit better. You know, it's a long haul, but she had her last treatment, and now she's free for the rest of the balance of the summer. So that's really, really nice.
As long as it's after the day.
Yeah.
As they say in French.
Right. So you can open up to Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Yeah, whenever you have to leave, as we always say. Actually, we'll look at the last line in Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Ravashi Amar. Ravashi again is trying as the Gemara is working Lamed Amud Beis, the last line.
We're going backwards.
I don't know backwards. I think we're moving forwards actually. But at any rate, so we're looking for a case of Kivlei B'Derab Aminei. Because we had trouble with the case of stealing someone's truma and eating it because he was already chayav before he ate it. He was chayav to pay the kohen. So Rav Ashi Omar, bizar sha'ochal truma mishalo. So the Tzar is eating his own truma. Rashi explains that he inherited this truma from his maternal grandfather, who's a kohen. And kara shirayim shal chaver on the top of Lamed Aleph, Omed Aleph. So simultaneously, he is eating truma, and he's a czar, and he is destroying someone's property. And in this case, we apply the principle of kim le b'derab minei. So Rashi says over here, usvir le l'ravashi, the second line from the top of Lamed Aleph, Ravashi is of the opinion that misa l'zev, tashlum l'zev, potur. Meaning we apply kim le b'derab minei, even though it's misa lezevet hashlum lezeh. The misa here is because of eating truma. In fact, he's eating his own truma. He hasn't stolen it from anybody. At the same time, he's ripping someone's garment, which is tashlum lezeh. So there's no connection here between the chiyuv misa and the chiyuv Tashlume Mamon, or shall we call it Nezikin, other than the fact that both were done at the same time, simultaneously. And Rashi is saying that this Ravashi is waving the flag of Misa Lezev Tashlume Lezev Potter, because there are those who, dissenters, if you want to call them that, who hold that Misa Lezev Tashlume Lezev Chayav, meaning in such a case we don't apply Kim Levi the Rab Minei. Now, what is the exact case of Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh where you're going to say Chayav? So that's what Tosis points out here on the bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Yud says Ploni Ba Al Bas Ploni. So there are Edim that testify that so-and-so had a relationship with Bas Ploni, she's a married woman, V'huzmu, and then they became Edim Zomimim, Nerogim U'Meshalmim. They get a double punishment. Whenever you see a double punishment, you know that we're suspending which principle? Kim Leib D'Rab Minei. Because Nerogim U'Meshalmim. And the Gemara says in the name of Rava that the reason for this and the reason why we suspend the principle of Kim Leib Ramine is because it's Mamon Lezeh Unafashis Lezeh, and in such a case we suspend the principle of Kim Leib Ramine. Now if you underline these words Mamon Lezeh Unafashis Lezeh in Tosfos and then you look at Rashi, Rashi says that it's okay, he doesn't use the word nefashos, instead he uses the word misa, but he says misa lezeh v'tashlum lezeh. It's almost identical word for word verbatim of what Tosis says, and yet what Rav is saying, and Tosis quoting Rav from Sanhedrin, is that in this case there's going to be a double punishment, both misa and mamon, and we're not going to apply the principle of kim leib d'rab minei. Pirish, why is it Mamon Lezeh Unefashis Lezeh? Mamon Labas, when they testified against this Bas, that she had this relationship, Ratzu Lahafsid Lak Subasa, she would lose her ksuba. And at the same time, Nefashis Lezeh, Sha'omer Sheba Aleha, and he identifies the Boel, and the Boel has to be put to death. And then again, then these Eidim become Zomim. But again, in every case of Eidim Zomim, we obviously want to figure out what would have been had they not Eidim Zomim. What was this Mama? And this Mama was a double Mama. Number one, to be Mafsid the Bas, her Ksuba. Number two, to bring the Boel to be judged as a capital punishment, to be condemned to death. And in such a case, it's Mama Lezer. Right, the lezeh means the bas, and it's misa lezeh because the boel is now going to be put to death. Now we're mazim the edim, and we have to reflect back those two punishments onto the edim. And you might say, well, how can we punish them in two ways simultaneously? Meaning, we're going to give them misa and make them pay for the ksuba and mama. And the answer is because it's misa lezeh, mama lezeh. Otherwise known as Mama Lezeh and Nefashis Lezeh, or as Rashi calls it, Misa Lezeh and Tashlum Lezeh. They're just different ways of formulating it. And according to Rashi, that Rava, who makes that statement that the Eidim Zomim has to be killed and also pay the Ksuba, is a Shita which contradicts Ravashi, meaning Ravashi is arguing against Rava. According to Rashi, what the Gemara could have done was, and again, this is not a judgment call. I have no problems with this. But if the Gemara had wanted to do so, it could have said Udalo Kerava. You know, very often you'll have a statement in the Gemara. It'll say Dalo Ker, and it'll quote another Mandio. So the Gemara could have pointed out that Misa Lezeh Tashlum Lezeh Chayav, according to Rava, whereas Rav Ashi was of the opinion that Misa Lezeh Tashlum Lezeh Chayav. I'm sorry, Rav Ashi is of the opinion that Misa Lezeh Tashlum Lezeh Potter. And Rav would say Chaya. Rav would say Chaya.
Is there any significance to the fact that one has Mama before Misa and the other one has Misa before?
I don't know, I'm not sure. Maybe you could ask me that question once I know what's going on. But right now I'm still unfortunately in the dark. Because Tosis has another sugya, which is actually a Mishnah in Masechta Bava Kamma. So again, the sugya of Rava is in Masechta Sanhedrin, the sugya of Rav Ashi is here in Ksubas, and there's a third sugya, which is a Mishnah in Masechta Bava Kamma. What does it say in the Mishnah there? You'll see this here on the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, because this Tosfos spans the two Amudim. Hidlik es hagadish v'shabbos. So what happens is that Reuven burns down the haystack of Shimon on Shabbos. And Shimon, of course, wants to get paid. He wants to get reimbursed for his haystack that went up in smoke. Pot. Where Reuven is off the hook. Why? V'pnei shenidon b'nafsho. The Mishnah says, because since Reuven is going to be put to death for violating Melechah Shabbos, in this case Melechah Savora, therefore, Kimlev the Rabbi, and he doesn't pay for the Gaddish. Wait a minute, I don't get it. How could the Mishnah say such a thing? That case is exactly identical to our case of Rav Ashi here in Ksubas of Achal Truma Vekara Shirayim Shel Chavero. And our Rav Ashi here says that in such a case, we apply the principle of Kim Leibu the Rabbinine, and he doesn't pay damages. Yet, right? Yet Rava says, in exactly that same case, that he would pay damages, because Rava says that Mamon Lezeh V'Nefashis Lezeh Chayav. Chayav means he's Chayav both Mamon and Misa. Well, if that be the case, if this principle of Mamon Lezeh V'Nefashis Lezeh Potur, according to Rav Ashi, is contradicted by Rava, who says Mama Lezeh Nefashis Lezeh Chayav, then what's Rava going to do with the Mishnah in Masechta Bava Kamma? That's Tosfos' kasha. Everybody have the kasha? Should I review it one more time? Yes, no, maybe? No? Anybody need a review on that? Have you have it all clear? If I test you on it, you're going to be able to answer my question? I mean, that's a challenge, but... What's the stira? I'm going to test you.
That sounds like something that Rob would have done.
Yeah. What's the stira between Rava's statement in Sanhedrin and the Mishnah Bava Kamma? And why is Rashi responsible for that stira? Don't all answer at once. I mean, everybody says they knew they didn't need any review of this, so obviously you know it. Because this is Tosas Kasha. Tosas Kasha is that according to Rashi, Rava turns out to be against the Mishnah, which is not good news.
Revolves around Rava Nazer, Mishnah Nazer.
Well, how is Rashi going to interpret Rava? Because Rashi says that our Ravashi is against Rava. It means that according to Rava, we suspend the principle of Kibble Ravine in the case of Mishnah Nazer, Rava Nazer. And hence, Rav is the one who says that the Edim Zomim have to pay both. They get paid by death, so to speak, and they pay the Mammon, which they have because they were Mafsid Hadlik Suva. No, if that be the case, you suspend the principle of Kimlein Ramine. The Mishnah itself applies to Kimlein Ramine in exactly the same circumstance. When the man burns up his friend's Gadish on Shabbos, violates the Shabbos, he's Chayav Misa, simultaneously, he burns up his friend's Gadish and he owes Tashlumin Ezekin, and the Mishnah says he doesn't have to pay. How could Rava say that since there's Mamal Lezev, the Nefashis Lezev, you have to pay, and there's no Kimlein in Rabbi, when the Mishnah says, Hidlikas HaGadish Mishab is Potter, she came with Schaif
and Ash. That's not Mamal Lezev, Mishnah Lezev, by the Gadish.
Well, how is it different than the case of Kar Shirayim? Again, Rashi is the one who gets us into deep trouble.
Kar Shirayim is someone else's Shirayim.
Okay, and Magas HaGadish is someone else's Gadish.
But that's the Chiv Misa on the Gadish. The Chiv Misa is on the Gadish, and the Chiv Mammon is on the Gadish. Here, the Chiv Misa is Takarish Barakoy, however you want to put it, has to do with the Bila. And the Mammon has to do with the Ksuva.
You know what, I say, Herb, maybe what you're saying is what the Ri is saying. Let's take a look at the Ri and see if we can take what you said and put it into the Ri. Okay then? So with looking at the Ri, Ratzel Yashev, this is about 5-6 lines down in the Tosfos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Ha-Ri Ratzel Yashev Pirish HaKuntras. De-Choshev Hocha Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh L'Fishem Beis Maisim. They're two different actions. That's what Rashi has in mind. Achilas Truma, Ukriyas Shirayim. There's a coincidental overlap of two actions, and you have to pay and be punished by both of them. And if you can apply Kimlid Ramine, then you're suspending the principle of Mamal Lezev to Tashlum Lezev. So Mamal Lezev to Tashlum Lezev means, according to the Ri, two different Maisim. And if it's two different Maisim, that's going to be a plugta, a machlokas between Rav Ashi here and Rava there. Rava's going to say that since it's two different maisim, we suspend the principle of Kim Levin Ramine, whereas Rav Ashi says as long as these two maisim overlap and they were done simultaneously, then there will be Kim Levin Ramine. Now, let's ask the question about Madlik Kedisho Shel Chaver V'Shabbos. Is there one action or two actions? One. There's only one action. He burnt down his friend's Gadish.
Right.
In such a case, that's not called Misa Lezeh Mamal Lezeh. But Misa Lezeh Mamal Lezeh means two different Maisim. Like in the case where he eats Truma and at the same time he rips his friend's Shirayim. That's called two different Maisim. Now, we're going to still have a major problem here with Edim Zomim, because Edim Zomim was a case where there was only one Maisa, and yet he's going to be chayav two, unless we say that since there are two victims here, right? The witnesses are testifying really twice.
Exactly.
Again, they're testifying about the same Maisa, and they actually only say it once, but Al Pidin, they're testifying twice. They're testifying
the
once.
He's talking about how many Maisas there are.
Right. That's the impression I get.
Yeah. It says the Farish. What I was talking about is how many people were affected.
So maybe what the Ri would say, I'm just trying to reconcile what the Ri says with what Herb Tarigan says is maybe we could reconcile and say the following.
I wouldn't even try that.
That if there are two mice, if there are two victims, right, then there are two mice. So let's take that apart. So in the case of Rava, right? I don't mean Rava, but I mean to the In the case of Rava with Adam Zomimim, there are two victims, right? Because he's testifying against her on a monetary level, against him to be Chayav Misa for Bias Eishesish. In such a case, two victims means it's two Misa. Maybe that's what the Ri is saying. And therefore, Rav is going to say it's Misa Lezev, Tashlum Lezev, it's two different Misim, and we're not going to apply the principle of Kimlev Ramine, the Adam will be Chayav both Misa and Mama. Just one second, wait, let me just see if I can work this out. And therefore here, in the case of Achilles Truman Kriyas Shirayim, it's literally two Maisim. V'chein ba ploni ba'al biti shel ploni heim beiz edios. Again, we'll say it's two victims, right? Shel hayu yecholim lahoid olav below abas, v'al abas below olav. These are two independent testimonies. He could have said ploni ba'al naira muras, so plonis, somebody else. Or he could have said that that she lost Haksuba to someone else. I mean, they're two different Maisim, two different, they're independent. And if they're independent, then it becomes like two Maisim. Aval madlik es hagadish, hakol ba al yidei Maisa echad. So again, in the Eidus, when he says, ploni ba al bito shel ploni, he's really giving two different Eidios. One Eidus is ploni ba, and that could have been ba any other woman, and albito shel ploni means that there's a loss of exuva, but that has nothing to do with the ploni. It could have been someone else that would have caused, would have had that relationship with her and caused the loss of exuva. Is havile beis adios. It becomes two different testimonies, and if it becomes two different testimonies, it's two different maisim, and hence we're going to punish you with the full brunt of the law for both maisim. Masha'enken, right? We're going to So now you'll ask yourself the question, what would be then in a case of Zar Shachal Truma Mishalov Kar Shirav Shal Chavero? He'd be chai for both, right? Because here there's two Maisen. Clearly there's two Maisen. There's one Maisen of Achilles Truma and another Maisen of ripping the Shirayim Shal Chavero. Says Rashi, hence we have to derive the conclusion that Rav Ashi holds Misal is Ever Tashlum is Ever Potter. And that even if there's an overlap of two Maisim, as long as they were done simultaneously, we're going to apply Kim Levi the Rabbinah. But the Chachamim, and in this case the Chacham is Rava, because Rava says that if you have two Adios, one against the Boel and one against the Neveles in terms of Haksuba, then what you have is two Maisim, and we're going to apply, and we're not going to apply the principle of Kim Levi the Rabbinah. We're going to say Schai for both Maisim. How could Rav Ashi say, therefore, that you are Potur? And the answer must be, because according to Rav Ashi, Misal is Zev Tashlum is Zev Potur, it means you will apply the principle of Kimlei Ramine even in the case of Misal is Zev Umam is Zev. That's what Rashi is saying. Ah, you'll ask me, what about the Mishnah of Madlig Eskadish Shel Chavera? Why don't we call that Misal is Zev Umam is Zev? And the answer is, there's only one Maisa. And if there's only one Maisa, that doesn't fit into the category of Misa Lezeh, Mama Lezeh. We're going to apply the principle of Kim Levi the Ramin. That's what I think the Ri is saying. Did I miss any other case that we discussed? So we have this case of Karashi Ryan. Fine. And then we have the case over there. And then we have Madlikas HaGodesh.
I mean, it's Mashma from the Lashon of Rashi and Tosis that something is going on, because the Gemara never says, unless, of course, I don't know what a Gemara, it doesn't use the Lashon of Misa Lezeh, Maman Lezeh. It just says the Lashon Misa Maman. So why does Rashi and Tosfos come in with a new Knech?
When you say it doesn't say, I don't know, I didn't look up the Gemara, I have a Gemara Sanhedrin floating around here, but look at Tosfos' quote of the Gemara, unless he's adding something. He says, Mamun Lezev and Nefashis Lezev. Do you see that? Two lines up before the end of the page. Now, I have here Gemara Sanhedrin. If you want to look it up, we can certainly we can certainly give you this.
What Tosis is quoting something, he's just giving his own shot. He's not necessarily quoting.
Well, that's why I gave you the Gemara. So I don't know. Again, you know, it's hard to believe that Rashi would have created a language that and make a pluta about this language without that language appearing somewhere in Shas. You know, very often I see Rashi quoting a phrase.
I retract my statement.
Oh, it does say it explicitly?
Yeah, but why does he
leave it open, Herb? Because we're gonna try to look it over again and again and again. You know, we're not gonna be added to sugya. I have my own question to ask, but Alan, I'd rather hear your question first.
No, this is a fundamental question that you can probably do it away with quickly. And that is, how can the Gemara assume that you can use a case of Zomimim, of Adam Zomimim, to bring a raya for a non-case of Adam Zomimim? Because the critical part of Adam Zomimim is that Kasher Zomim. Now, how far can they expect Eden to know that the second derivation of this, because of this, is also going to be a chiyuv on that, and maybe they
well, that depends on the tvia. Meaning, Eden can't come into business without a tvia.
Yeah.
So the Eden is now directed or defined by the tvia. So what's happening is that there's a double tvia over here. One tvia is what you call there's a phrase in American law. It's the case so-and-so against the state.
Yeah, right.
You know, well,
okay.
I forget what it's called.
That's a formal thing. Okay.
Yeah, what does it mean against the state? It means that if somebody is guilty of a criminal act, then we have to punish him. And right. The Eidim will come in, and Beis Din has to sit there in judgment. We'll be Arta Rami Kerbecha. I mean, Beis Din represents the state, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then we have a tefiyah on the part of the father.
Right.
The father's being tovea, that's a whole different story. He's being tovea on behalf of his boss because she lost her ksuba. Now these Adam are Adam Zomim, so we prove that she really should not have lost her ksuba. So that's one tefiyah. Now the Adam come into Beis Din, they are invited into Beis Din to testify, number one, on the Boel. We're gonna interrogate you and can you identify the Boel?
Right.
Describe him to me, or maybe you know his name, you know where he lives, and so forth and so on. And then at the same time, the father is being tovea that these Edim falsely tried to be mafsid my daughter, and now she's a Nara, Haksuba. So when the Edim testify, their testimony is understood as being a response to the tvia. So there's two tvias here. There's one tvia against the Boel, because we have to establish through Edom and then put him to death if we try him and we find that he's guilty. And then there's going to be a case here, but that the father is bringing up against the same pair of Edom for trying to be mafsid his daughter, the Ksuba.
Right.
And now we have two different crimes, so to speak. The Edom, sinned, if you will. I don't mean that literally, but sinned against the Boel because they wanted to put the Boel to death, and they testified on behalf of the father. Well, I shouldn't say on behalf of the father, but against on behalf of the Baal, on behalf of the husband, against this woman who they claim was guilty of having this relationship, and hence she lost her ksuva. So comes along Rav and he says, you know, in such a case, we're going to apply the principle of kasher zomim straight across the board. There's going to be a kasher zomim against the father's interest, meaning against the ksuva, and there's going to be a kasher zomim against the witnesses who tried to put we'll call the Boel Joe to death.
Yeah.
And in this case, Rava says we don't apply kimle and ramine. The eidim will be punished with both misa and mamon. And the reason for that is because nefashas lezeh mamon lezeh, which according to the Rebbe means there are two separate misa. There's one misa eidus vis-a-vis the boel, and there's another misa eidus vis-a-vis the ksuba. And again, why are the eidim testifying the ksuba? That's because it's the Av who brought them into Beis Din in order to support his claim that the original pair of Edim who perjured themselves were causing him a loss of the ksuba.
So the first thing was what brought on the whole thing was the Av's being upset that he's losing his thing. So maybe there is a real reason for the lashon, the change in the lashon from misa lezev, bama lezev, or the other way around. So maybe it's possible that we don't say
again. Which is the
one here? Now the one we're talking about, where the av brings the father down first. Father brings the eight, and because he's
right, that's the case in Sanhedrin. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And what does it say there? It says
misa lezev bama lezev, because we don't apply.
I think it says Mama Lezeh Nefashis Lezeh.
Mama Lezeh Nefashis
Lezeh. And show it to Alan. So,
because
okay, so again, I can't juggle this all in my head without your help.
So you know, there's
so many different cases.
And we do say Kim Levi Rabbeinu, we don't.
No. We suspend Kim Levi Rabbeinu.
Okay, so
that's really
okay.
That Gemara on Daf Yud in Sanhedrin of Rava, that's really the paradigm for this whole discussion that we're embarking upon today, which is called Mamel Lezeh Unefashis Lezeh.
So what I'm thinking is maybe that what Rashi is saying when he said that, when he used that lashon, is to tell you when the original case that's brought is a Mamel case, and it's not possible that Kasher Zomon could only apply to the Mamel itself when there's such a bigger case that's involved. And so therefore we wouldn't say humbling me to rob me, because the first case is the first case, and you give him Misa anyways. On the other hand, if it's the other way around, where their primary Haggadah Seidus is on the Dvar Shel Misa, then we would say Kimlei me to rob me.
Okay, again, you know, all this is very futuristic. I'm still going through the basics here. Again, we're just trying to say the following. Let's summarize the Ri. The Ri is saying that Madlikas Kedisha Shal Chaver B'Shabbos and Kimlei B'Ravine in that case is not a contradiction to Rashi,
right?
Because Rashi would hold that unless there are two Maisim that you're testifying about, unless there are two Maisim and two violations or criminal violations, then we don't have any discussion here about should there be Kimlei B'Ravine or should not Kimlei B'Ravine.
There is Kimlei B'Ravine.
There certainly is Kimlei Rabbi. That is Kimlei Rabbi. That's your standard Kimlei Rabbi. That's the Madlikas Kedish Shal Chaver B'Shabbos. That's your upgrade. You know, that's your simple, straightforward Kimlei Rabbi name.
Right.
According to Rashi, when is there going to be a machlokas? Should we apply Kimlei Rabbi or should we suspend it? That's in a case where there are two Maisim. So what's the Metzius of two Maisim? So Rashi has the following two cases. He has case number one, where he eats truma and he destroys someone's property. And Rashi has the case where the Eidim testify both on behalf of the father against the ksuba, on behalf of the husband against the ksuba, and on behalf of the father to establish that this Eidus was Eidus Sheker. So let's leave out the father from. I'm sorry. Let's talk about the Eidei Abal. Right, they became Zomim. But again, in order to appreciate how Azom is going to work and what punishments are going to be out, let's go back to the original Eidus and analyze what the Eidim are testifying. Okay, so who's bringing the Eidim? Is everyone with me?
The Baal.
The Baal is bringing the Eidim. Again, these Eidim are going to become Eidim Zomim. But the Baal is bringing the Eidim. The Eidim are now are testifying on behalf of the Baal to be mafsid the ksuba, and then on behalf of Ubiarta Rabbi Kirbecha to put the Boel to death. And Tosis claims, in the name of the Ri, that's considered like two Maisim. Because there's an Eidus on the Boel, there's an Eidus on the ksuba, which is related to her. In other words, she lost the ksuba because of her hanky-panky. And that's considered two different Maisim. Oh, now we understand Rava, because according to Rashi, whenever there are two Maisim, we have a case of Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh. Right. And now we have a stira between Rava and Ravashi. And that's exactly what Rashi is. He's not upset about that. Rashi holds that Rava is entitled to his opinion and Ravashi to his. Ravashi here in the Gemara of Achal Truma, V'Kar Shirab Shel Chaver, is holding that even though it's Misa Lezeh V'Mam Lezeh, Nevertheless, we're going to apply the principle of what? Of Kimlei B'Rabbi Minei. Comes along Rav and he says, no, If they're two different maisim, then we're not going to apply kimlev the rabbi. So if the overlap, or shall I say the coincidental simultaneity of two different maisim, according to the shita of Rava, rejects kimlev the rabbi. Why? Because it's a coincidental simultaneity. It's an overlap. It happens to be that he did two different maisim at the same time. It reminds me, like the Gemara has in Beitzah, right? The Gemara says you can violate Yontif and be chayav for that one maisa five different sets of malchus, right? Because it's also bas mecholav and it's also shviz and whatever goes on over there, right? So you could have one maisa which is really many different maisim, and if there were many different maisim, that's where Rava says the fact that these maisim both overlapped or coincided on one moment, that's not kimlev the ramine. Kimlev the ramine means one maisa with two different onshim. One maisa with two different onshim, that's kimlev the ramine. But two maisim that coincide, that's not kimlev the ramine. Says Rashi, that sheet of Rava is against Ravashi. Or say it the other way around, Ravashi here is against Rava. Because Rashi here says that Karshi Ram Shel Chaver, it's two different maisim, and yet nevertheless he's going to apply kimlev b'derami. Now, before we go on, I just have something I want to get off my chest, and I don't know the answer to this question, but something really bothers me here. Every case that we had until now of kimlev b'derabi minei was destroying someone else's property, correct? So let's say, for example, we had a case of gonev chelbo shechaver yachlo. And we're going to focus on kimlev d'ramine for this ochel who ate whose chelev?
His.
I don't know what his means, right? Okay, right.
He was donating, but
he didn't eat his own chelev. He ate some of Yenem's chelev, and that's the chiyuv moment. Well, let's take the case of truma. That was another case that we had of kimlev d'ramine. And what was that? He stole the coins truma and he ate it. All of a sudden, tell me if you're bothered by this. All of a sudden, Rav Ashi, when he wants to give me his understanding of the classic case of kimlev d'rabbi, he tells me that it was a zar shachal truma mishalo. That this ochel, he inherited this truma from his grandfather. Why is he confused me with that? Does that bother anybody? In other words, there's a shift here. Every single case that we've had, we have a number of cases of kimlev d'rabbi, we spoke about stealing someone else's mamon and destroying it and eating it. And here Rav Ashi says he eats his own truma. Like, why are you confusing me with irrelevant information? I don't know, that just bothers me. Anyway, getting back to Tosfos, he says the following. He says
he's going to the point where, to go back a little, you're not dealing with two separate people. The other cases, in essence, if you want to expand the concept of Mises, the Tachlumim is that, it means that there's someone else involved. So therefore, there's more reason to say Kimlay.
Or to suspend Kimlay.
Or to
suspend Kimlay. You know, the very moment you press the button on the screen, it says Misal is there, Kimlev is there. What you're trying to do is, you're trying to undermine Kimlev.
Whichever way you look at it. But here in the case where he's eating his own truma, you're dealing with one person involved. So you might think either it's more Kimlev or less Kimlev, depending on your basic swara.
Okay, I'm not sure I understand her, what you're saying. I'll try to, you know, as I go through the sugya, I'm going to try to let it sink in. But right now, let's see the Rashi.
The normal case of kimlev is always you do something and you're affecting someone else. That's the normal case of kimlev.
But again, you know, in terms of zar shochel truma, which is misa l'shamayim, meaning he violated the Yisur Zaros, what difference does it make whether it's his truma or somebody else's truma? Meaning, what we're saying is, according to Rashi, the fact that he, again, the Ri's understanding of Rashi, the fact that at the same time he happened to destroy someone else's property. So he's chayav to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being a zar who ate truma. Right. That's a terrible avera. That's a misa b'nei shamayim. Now, overlap, he's chayav to Yenam for destroying his truma. So Rashi says that's misa l'zeh tashlum l'zeh. Rav Ashi is on the opinion that even in, for desvegan, as right. we say, even in this case, we're going to apply kibbutz the rabbin. And Rashi points out that this is against Rova. Tosu says that that's not a problem. Rova is not going to have a problem with Madlik Sagodish because there's only one Maisa. And Rova is talking about two different Maisa, and therefore we have a suspension of Kimle. The Rabbi, that's called Misa Lezeh or Mama Lezeh. Now, in our case, we clearly have two different Maisim, and that's why Rashi is compelled to say that our Ravashi, we love Ravashi, our beloved Ravashi, is of the opinion that Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh is still included in Kimle Rabbin. And the coincidental overlap of two different Maisim nevertheless is going to lend itself to the application of the principle of Kimle Rabbin. I'm just pointing out that if the Ri is counting Maisim, and the reason he's chayav misa is because achilas truma. What difference make whose truma is? Like, that seems like such an insignificant element in the equation. You know, we're talking about a religious ritual violation that incurs a chayav misa because who are you to eat truma? You're a czar. You're a no good czar. You know what I mean? You're just a plebe. And it could be that you're eating your own truma that you inherited from the Zayda. It could be that you're eating Cohen's truma and so forth and so on. I don't know why that should make a big difference. So you may have an understanding here, but I don't know. I'm just right now, I'm at the stage in this sugya, because it's a very complicated sugya, where I want to get the facts on the ground. So let's take a look at the Rashba. The Rashba has a problem with Rav Yosef. Now, there's a sugya in Sanhedrin of Daf Yud, which you have open here on the desk. Then you could turn backwards, rewind, to Daf Tes Amud Beis. And that's the sugya of Rav Yosef, which is in the middle of Daf Tes Amud Beis. And there Rav Yosef has the case where the Baal brings Edim Shezinsa, the same exact case that we had in Rava. The father brings Edom to be Mazim, the Ede Abal, that's called Azoma. And Rav Yosef says that Ede Abal Neharogim, the Ein Mishalmim Mamon. Meaning, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlev the Ravini. So Rav Yosef is certainly against Rava. Now again, so far, I don't see a kash on the Re, right? We're going to see the next part of Tosu in just a minute, but right now, just to calculate, you know, midway through this process, the Re would say that Rav Yosef is very justified. Why? Because Rav Yosef, like Rav Ashi here in our sugya, says that if you violate two averos simultaneously, then we apply the principle of Kimlev d'Rabbani. That's exactly what Rav Yosef is yelling about. The Edim were testifying a double testimony, and nevertheless, since they did it b'vasachas, and they're all chayiv at the moment of Azoma, then we're going to apply the principle of Kibbeh the Rabbin. Vas is left. What's the big deal? I wouldn't get excited about this. So let's read it again. Omar Av Yosef, Hevi Abal Eidim Shezinsa, the Hevi Av Eidim Vizimum Li Eidi Abal Nerogim, Vi Ein Mishalmim Mama. Which means that Kibbeh the Rabbin applies despite the fact that there were two different mice in here. One mice that was a Maisa Haggadah on the Boel, and another Maisa Haggadah on the Isha, that she should lose her Ksuba. And we're going to apply Kimli and Rami.
Would that be the case, would that be true, if this was not the Azoma, there was no Edom Zomim in this case, that it was just, it was a regular case, would that still be the same Halacha, that Kimli and Rami or not?
What do you mean by Kimle Rabbin? If there's no Azoma, what do you mean Kimle Rabbin?
They testified. Adam came, right?
Right, Adam came.
And then
now they were not subject to Azoma.
No, they said
that we saw that this guy have a relationship with this girl, right?
The din is going to be applied to the Baal and to the Boel. I mean, the Baal is going to get Misa. Right.
And she's going to lose her ksuba.
would we say Kibbeh the Rabbin?
No, Kibbeh the Rabbin only means when you have one person who's going to be punished with two different punishments. Here, right. What we're going to have is two different people, and as a result of the Avis of the Ede Abal, both of them will be subject, each one individually, to his own punishment.
Right,
that's
okay,
not kiddush.
That's fine. That's very good. Now you have an Edom Zomim.
Right.
Edom Zomim. So basically, whatever's going to happen to both of those before, and now it's going to happen to the single set of the cots.
Right. The first cot.
We don't say Kimmel.
So that's Machlok between Rav Yosef and Rav. Okay. Rav says in this case there are two Adios, and each one generates its own punishment. That's not Kimmel the Rav. That's called Misa Lezev and Mamon Lezev.
Okay, fine.
He owes.
So there's no change then from the regular case where there was no Adios only.
Right.
Okay, now, but
comes along, Rav, no, comes along Rav Yosef.
Oh, Rav Yosef.
And hopefully we can identify Rav Yosef with Rav Ashi as one sheet logically.
Yeah.
And Rav Yosef says, you know what? We have a principle called Kimlev the Ramine. And we can't give two punishments at the same time. The Edim will suffer Misa. That's no great shakes. That's not very easy for them. But they don't have to pay Mama. Why? Because the Kimlev the Ramine. You'll ask me, they're two separate Adios, two separate Maisim. We apply the principle of Kimlev the Ramine straight across the board. And now we can identify Rav Yosef with our Rav Ashi. They're two separate mice, and he ate truma, and he happens to rip he's holding on to a sting gun, and he rips his friend Shirayim. Two separate mice. Kim Levi the Rabbi.
Okay.
Let's go on. V'chazar v'hevi abal eidim v'zim. Now we have a third set of witnesses.
Okay.
And this again is these are the eidim habal, but again, not the same pair of eidim.
But it's the eidim hazama.
Yeah, because the first pair of Edom are already Zolomim, they already are on trial. Now we can't allow them to testify against the Eviah, because
right.
Otherwise you've undermined the whole enterprise of Hazom. But another pair of Edom say that how could you testify against the first Edom when you were with us elsewhere at that time? So in such a case, Chazav Eviah Baal Edom Izimu Liediav, Eviah Avner Rogim, Uvishal Mimon. This is Rabbi Yosef.
Yeah, okay, very good. Okay.
Ooh, Mishal Mimon.
And you would say no, because after all, so the other one were under the din of Kimelim and Rabbi Mine, so they wouldn't have been with them anyways, a Mamon.
Right, so why does Rav Yosef say that in this case, when the third pair of Edom, which is the Edom Abal, come to be Maz and the Edom Av, that the Edom Av now have to pay?
No,
when they're getting killed. Why should you make them pay when you get killed? Again, if you're talking about Rava, then Rava would be fine over here. But we're talking about Rav Yosef. There seems to be an inconsistency in Rav Yosef's presentation. So let's again, Rav Yosef, you got to be patient
to get all the facts on the ground.
So he says the following: Pirush Labal Sharatzu Lahafsido Ksuva. Right, he's going to have to pay the Ksuva, and now they're being mafsid in the Ksuva. According to the Edia Av, right?
Right.
Udafashos liyeda, because the Edia Av are now trying to have the Edia Baal killed. Frek the Rashba v'hosom al hazoma achas bolem akol.
Right.
Why are you telling me that in this case we're going to? Just 1 second. Is he asking on the first case or the second case? Just 1 second.
Yes.
Well, just 1 second. If there's not silence, I'm not going to be able to function. I'm sorry. I apologize, but just again, in the case of what? Of the first round of Hasama, is then Rabbi Yosef says that we apply Kimli Ravine, but in the second round, when it's the Ede Abal against the Ede Av, we're going to suspend the principle of kasha zama, and therefore what they get both. So frek the Rashba v'hosom al hazoma achas po hakol. I don't know. Taichi, let's just see. I like sometimes in the back he adds a few words. Let's just see. Al hazoma achas. Oh, here it is. Al hazoma achas. Bala Hem HaKol. Let's see if he adds anything here. Bala Zoma Achas Bala Hem HaKol. Sheizimu Li'ede HaBal. Sounds like he's going back, he's maybe going back to the first of the two cases. Oh, no. He's talking about the third round of Edim, that he zimu li ede habal. No, that doesn't make sense. Shehizimu li ede habal. Then he's going back to the first case, the Edim of the father. Oh, he had something. Let's see if this makes sense. The afal pichen. I mean, he gave him the shnei. Eschayim ikar hacha. That's what we're going to say now, that he has to pay both. So he calls it shnei machayvim. Shnei meschayvim ikar hacha. Hainu abal veha edim. Oh. Just one second. Now it's beginning to make sense. So shnei meschayvim ikar hacha abal veha edim. Edim veha. He's assuming that what? It's one Maisa Edus? Here also, what are we saying? That Edia Av Nerogim Umishalmim Mamon. Edia Av Nerogim Umishalmim Mamon. Because what? Because they're two Chiyuvim. Again, I just have to get the facts on the ground here. That in the case of what happened, the idea of what were the idea of trying to accomplish here? First of all, they're trying to be mafsid the baaliks. Oh, and they're trying to kill the first pair of edim. So therefore, we say that there are two mischayvim. Okay, so why is this a kasha? Why is this a kasha? That's if there's two mischayvim, so two chayvim is therefore we don't say kimli rabbi minay hare lo tolya v'maisim. These are the key words, hare de lo tolya v'maisim. He says what? Al hazoma achas bo lahem hakol. Al hazoma achas bo lahem hakol, meaning that what? That they testified. I was in the A day. I was trying to testify that the A day Baal couldn't have seen what they saw because they were with us elsewhere, and therefore in that Hazoma, we're going to give them a double punishment. They'll be put together and they have to pay. Even though al azoma achas bo hakol, meaning what? Hizimu eder baal. Hizimu li eder baal. Oh, I think I'm beginning to get something here. That the eder av, which means that you couldn't have been there to testify. And that's called what? It's enough to call it two mischayvim. Yeah, even though it's one avera. This the Rashba is throwing out the Ri here. Well, what's the Rashba's argument against the Ri? That in the case of Hizimuli Edea Av, Rav Yosef says, the Edea Av will have to pay and they'll get killed. So now the question is, if it's all one Hazoma, which means what? That the Edim now say you couldn't have possibly been there where you claim you were because you were elsewhere. So that's called Hazama. And in such a case, we're going to suspend the principle of Kim Leib de Ramine based on Shnei Mischaivim, even though it's Maisa Echad. I think I got it. Let's see, does he have anything else here? Hadra Kushla Dukta Amai Be'uvd. Oh, now he takes it to the Godish case. There, it's two Mischaivim, and yet we do say Kim Leib de Ramine. Here in the case of Hizimu Edea Av, even though it's one Maisa, we're going to look at the Mischaivim, and therefore we're going to suspend, since we look at the Mischaivim. Could you remind me that I said this, because I might forget it, so if you don't mind being my memory. Since we have two Mischaivim, that's enough to suspend Kim Leib Ramine, even though it's one Maisa Edus. And that's going to lead us to a problem with Madlukes Kedisha, because he has one Mischaev of violating the Shabbos and another Mischaev of destroying his friend's haystack. And what are you going to tell me in that case that we apply Kim Leib de Ramine? They're two different Mischaev. And what did we see again in Rav Yosef? We saw in Rav Yosef if the Baal brings two Edim to be Mazim the Edei Av, then we're going to apply the principle of both. We're going to apply the punishment of both Misa and Mammon, and they're going to be Chayev Mammon, and we're not going to say Kim Leib de Ramine. So what suspends Kim Leib de Ramine? You can't say it's two Mischaivim, because then you'll be in trouble with Madlikas HaGodesh. Elo, are you going to tell me it's two different Maisim? That's what the Ri is saying. Well, it's not two different Maisim. They're guilty of one Avera, of one HaGodesh. So that's the Kash of the Rashba. Does everybody have the Kash of the Rashba? In other words, the Ri is saying that whenever you have two Maisim, then we're going to apply the principle of Misa Lezer, Mama Lezer, and we're going to say that we suspend Kim Leib de Ramine. Well, here's a case in the Edom Zomim case where it's one Maisa, and we're going to suspend Kim Leib de Ramine not because of two Maisim, but because of another reason, of two Mischaivim. And all this is going to bring us back to the old question of Madlikas Kedisha Chaver B'Shabbos, because there are two Mischaivim, and yet there's Kim Leib de Ramine. We just finished saying that if there's two Mischaivim, then there's no Kim Leib de Ramine. So your answer, which is the Ri's answer, that, well, it's all one Maisa in the case of Madlikas Kedisha, that's not going to hold water, because in the case of Edom Zomim, it's one Maisa, and yet we suspend the principle of Kim Leib de Ramine. So why don't we? So how do we reconcile that with Madlikas Kedisha?
Because we suspend it for a different reason, because Edom Zomim, we suspend it because they don't have any machshava kasher sama on the union of the mammon.
Well, wait a minute. We're saying they're paying mammon. If we're saying we're paying mammon, it's because of kasher sama. There's no other reason why they're paying mammon.
No, of course.
So let's get the facts on the ground.
I'm talking about the second case we were talking about here now.
I'm talking about the case of Hazimu as Edei Av, and now the Edei Av are going to have to pay mammon, and at the same time they're going to get misa. So keep in mind, we're talking about Kasher Zomim.
They would get that.
They will get both, right? That's what it says in Gemara Sanhedrin, on Daf Tes.
But the Edim, when they're Muzam, They do not have to pay. They only have to. They only get Misa. There is Kimlich.
No. Again, Alan, yes. I'm going to give you the Gemara, and you're going to read the Gemara, and don't say vice versa when the Gemara says the opposite. The Gemara says that the Edei Ha'av, once they become Edim Zomim, will have to pay Mammon, and they'll be killed. Let's just get the facts.
What about the next set of Edim?
The next set of Edim are the Mazimim. They're in the clear. They didn't do anything wrong.
So you have two factors. You have two Mises, or if you have two Mishaifim.
Correct, exactly. And the Re puts all his emphasis on two Mises, and then he thinks we're in the clear now. In the case of Aluk Sagodas, there's only one Mises. Now, the Rashba is proving that what breaks up the Kimlech Rabbeinu, meaning what allows us to say Misal Lezeh, Mom Lezeh, and impose both penalties, is the fact that it's two mischaiva,
right.
Even in the case of one maisa. If that be the case, we're back to square one. We're in trouble with Madlikas Kedisha. Good? And that's going to lead us to Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. Now, what's Rabbeinu Tam? Vinirla Rabbeinu Tam, the Rava. Yeah, please. Have a good Shabbos, and thanks for coming. And now we're up to Rava. Rava says, Dafka Gabi Edim Zomimim. I'm sorry, Rabbeinu Tam says that Rava, Dafka Gabi Edim Zomimim, Islay Mamun Lezeh Unifashis Lezeh Chayev. That was the case of the Edei Ha'av.
I only have two Mishaivim, the Re and the Rashba.
Right. So you can't handle a third Mishaiv, that's Rabbeinu Tam. Mishum de Be'ina Shetiskayim as Zomakapi Kol Echad Vi Echad. Ah. Okay, so again, Rabbeinu Tam is going to come up with some explanation why this case is different, and basically it's inherent in the pasuk achiv. You know, here it says achiv, and since it's achiv number one and achiv number two, that's the only way we can fulfill what the Torah dictates. That it has to be achiv, right? Asher v'yasisim lo kashazom lasos li achiv, and here we have two achivs. And that's a special rule in terms of the Vasisim law. So in Vasisim law, we're not talking about the rule, the normal regulations that govern Kimlech
the Rabbeinu. He said it's a mir and Yahachim.
Well, I don't think it's a mir here. In this case, it's a ribui. Okay. That Yahachim means every one of the Achim. So even if in one Eidus you affect many different people, some for Mammon and some for Misa, but the Torah says, "Vasis lokash shesavimli achim." See, each one of the victims of your eidus. So it has nothing to do with one ma'isa. That's nothing to do with two machayim. It just has to do with the kiyum of the asis lokash shesav lasus liachim. And there are two achims here because the Edei Ha'av are on the one hand trying to be machayev the baal to pay the ksuba, and on the other hand they're trying to be machayev the Edei Ha'av misa b'toras edim zomim. So the Edei Ha'av clearly, when we apply the principle, when they turn out to be Zoma, and we apply the principle of Sisim Lakash Zoma, we have to add the word Achiv, and we have two Achivs here, hence we apply the principle of Mammon, of Yishalmu Mammon v'Yamusu, both, because they're two Achivs. We have to be Mekayim, the Kash Zoma, for both victims, for both Achivs. That's Rabbeinu Tam. What I'd like to learn with you today is the Mishkanos HaRoim, which we started, but we got totally derailed yesterday, and we're hoping that today will be in better shape, because now at least I think we're a little bit more grounded in the sugya, and we're looking on page Kuf Peh. If you find such a page, now the paragraph here that we're reading, which is called Reish Aleph, addresses itself, if we want to give it a title, to Rashi's. Let me start again. To Tosis's understanding of Rashi. Mashma mi divrehem shemivarim shitas Rashi. Now, I'll tell you why I got derailed yesterday, because there's an eno and there's an ella. So I don't know if you want to underline those words. That's just visually how it helps me. You'll see on the top line on the left the word eno, and then if you drop three lines, you'll see the word ella. So again, if anyone here is aided by this, this to me is a helpful thing. When he rejects one thing and then he starts with Ella and he replaces it with another thing, I like to see those key words, because he doesn't press the return button when he gets to the Ella, and therefore the eye, you know, the eye could get distracted over here. You have to see first how you could have interpreted Rashi, and Tosis is not interpreting Rashi that way. So the Eino is going to give us what I call Salkedai Techamina, what we could have said on our own in Rashi, and then the Ella is going to be the way that Tosis understood Rashi. He says the following: why does Rashi consider the case of Ochal Trumas Atzmo V'kara Shiraim Shel Chavero as a case of Misa Lazeh V'Tashlum Lazeh? Why? That's really the crux of the issue here if we want to understand Rashi's Shita. You okay there, Alan?
I'm listening. Okay. I didn't find
it. Oh, you didn't find it. Okay, it doesn't matter. It's Kuf Pei. We probably have some copies floating around. Eino, okay, put the word Eino on the side for a minute. That's like the minus sign. And let's see what we could have said in Rashi. And Tosis does not say that. We could have said in Rashi, Mishum Sha Truma Shalo. Now, I got very excited about this when I saw those three words, because if you remember, I was very upset, I was very perturbed by the fact that all of a sudden Rav Ashi shifted to a new mode. It wasn't that he was eating, you know, the Kohen's Truma or somebody else's Chelev, and we were talking about a Chiyuv Mama because he destroyed someone else and stole something, etc., etc. All of a sudden, he's eating his own Truma. And therefore, we could have suggested, which again we'll see that Tosis is definitely not learning this in Rashi, that since the Truma is Shalom and it doesn't belong to the Baal HaShirayim, in other words, Rav Ashi could have easily have said that he ate the Truma of the Baal HaShirayim, which means he has to pay the Truma back to the Baal HaShirayim, and he is Chayav Misa Bidei Shemayim for eating the Truma of the Baal HaShirayim, meaning that everything really comes down to one person, and that would be Nefashis Lezeh Bechiv HaMisa Lo Ba Lo Mishel Chavero, meaning that the reason why, according to Rashi, Rav Ashi's case is Shirayim Shel Atzmo, I'm sorry, is Truma Shel Atzmo, is Rashi wants to tell me why this is a case of Misa Lazeh V'Tashlumin Lazeh. Because if it was the owner of the Shirayim who lost his own Truma, then we could really begin to understand why we would apply Kim Levi the Rabbani in this case. This has nothing to do with the issue of Mama Lazeh U'Misa Lazeh, because everything boils down to one single person. In other words, it's like one mischayev, if you know what I mean, using the language of what we discussed in the Rashba and Tosis.
Does he really mean at this point?
I'm not ready yet for questions. Give me just 1 minute to work this out, because it's just going to derail me. Because again, this is a very sensitive mathematical calculation here. He's suggesting the following: that what makes Rav Ashi so unique, and Rashi's going to point out how unique he is, and it's against the sugya of Misa Lezev, Tashlum Lezev Rava in Sanhedrin, what makes it unique is the fact that the Truma is his own Truma. That's going to make Rav Ashi very unique. That's going to give us a real logical svara, which Rava would embellish and advocate in favor of, that we don't apply King Levi the Rabbani, right? We do not apply King Levi the Rabbani in this case of. Just 1 second. I'm sorry, I don't have the calculation down yet. If it's the Truma. I'm sorry. Here's the way it works. That, in a sense, if the truma is owned by the Baal HaShirayim, that would be pshita, that Rav Ashi has not said anything radical. We're looking for the unique shita of Rav Ashi. That's what Rashi is looking for here. Had Rav Ashi formulated his principle in terms of the Shirayim of the, I'm sorry, the Truma of the Baal HaShirayim, then he's not telling me any chiddush. Why? Because that clearly is a classic Kimrei D'Ramine. Why is that classic Kimrei D'Ramine? Because let's take the case of Malik Yudisha. What's Machayev him for Maleches Havara Misa? It's Yenem's haystack. It's his Gadish. And what's Machayev him to pay Nezikin for that haystack? It's Yenem's. It's the same Yenem's haystack. Right. So we come back always to the same point in which both the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamon emanate from that same individual who owns a haystack. You burnt down his haystack, and therefore you're chayev for Shabbos and you're chayev for Tashlumei Nezikin. That's going to be your classic paradigm of Kimlev D'Ramine. If Rav Ashi would have mentioned that the case of the Truma is that he stole Yenem's Truma and then he burnt and then he ripped his Shirayim, that would be classic Kimlev D'Ramine. I don't need Rav Ashi for that, because the Machayev of Misa is Yenem's Truma, and the Machayev for Tashlume Shirayim is Yenem Shirayim. It's the same person. That's Kimlev D'Ramine, and I'll prove it to you, because the classic Kimlev D'Ramine is Madlik as Gedisha Shel Chavero, and that's Kimlev D'Ramine. There's one Machayev over here, and the Machayev is the Baal HaTruma of Shirayim, or in the case of Godish, the Baal HaGodish. Rashi says the following. Why did Rav Ashi, again, this is all Eino, what I'm about to tell you is not Tosus, but it's the possibility of Rashi. Why, asks Rashi, did Rav Ashi deliberately address the case where one person owned the Truma and the other person owned the Shirayim? Because Rashi wants to tell you the radical Chiddush of Rav Ashi. Now it's not a classic Kimlei Ramine. On the contrary, now it's a suspension of Kimlei Ramine, at least according to Rava. Why? Because it's Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh. The Misa is because of the Truma that's not owned by the Baal HaShirayim, whereas the Chiyuv Mamon is the result of the Baal HaShirayim. Well, there are two different people, and if that's the case, it's two different Mischaivim. If the Baal HaShirayim is the same person as the Baal HaTruma, then it's exactly identical to Malik Sagodesh, which means that's Kimlei Ramine, because it's he is the Mischayim.
Right, that's right.
His Truma was eaten.
Right.
His Shirayim were ripped up. Correct?
Right.
Oh. So now I'm going to prove to you that Tosus did not understand Rashi in that light. After, again, working very hard to justify Rashi, and not only that, but to justify why Rav Ashi had to tell us that this Truma belonged, he inherited from the Zayda. Well, why is that important? Why the deviation why deviate from everything that we've said till now? Is the answer is because Rav Ashi wants to tell you a big chiddush. That's what Rashi wants to tell us. That Rav Ashi's big chiddush is that the Truma, the Chiyuv Truma, has nothing to do with the Chiyuv Nezikin. They're two separate Machayvim. And yet, we're going to apply Kimlei Ramine. And that's a position that's antithetical to Rova. But that's not Tosfos. How do I know that that's not Tosfos? And the answer is, because if this is Tosfos' explanation of Rashi, then he has no kasha from Madlik HaGodesh. Because Madlik HaSagosh would not fit into Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh. Why? Because it's the same Baal HaGodesh that's Mechayev him in Shabbos for destruction of his Godesh, burning down his Godesh, as Mechayev him in Tashlumei Nezikin for the payment of the compensation for the destruction of that Gadish. So the Gadish is the Machayev of both. And that's Kimlei B'Rabin. And that has nothing to do, that has nothing to do with the sugya of Rava, of Misa Lezeh, Unefashis Lezeh. Rava's Misa Lezeh and Mama Lezeh is because they're two separate Mishayimim. There's one ksuba that's owned by the Baal, and the Edom are trying to destroy that. And there's another Nefashos of the first pair of Edom, or whatever the case may be, the Boel in the first case. And that's a new Mishayev. They happen to overlap.
But that's...
There's no Kibbutz in Rami. On that itself, Rav Ashi argues. Why? Because Rav Ashi's talking about his own truma. It wasn't the truma that he stole from this guy. Had it been the truma that he stole from this guy, that wouldn't have been a Gavaldik Achidish of Rav Ashi. That would be classic Kimlei B'Rabbeinu. Now, if that's the understanding of Rashi, Tosfos has no objection, no kasha from Malik Sagodish. And what brought the Re in Tosfos to reinterpret Rashi was this kasha. And therefore the Re came up with this fantastical idea that if it's two separate maisim, and then we apply two different chiyuvim and two different onshim and two different maisim, we suspend the principle of Kim Levi the Rabbi. But what brought the Re to this radical reinterpretation of Rashi was the kasha from Bava Kama. And according to our understanding of Rashi, there is no kasha from Bava Kama. So from the Ella and on, we're going to try to figure out how Tosfos understood Rashi.
Why can't you say, when you're saying that he says it's a different, that he's the Baal, that the one swallowing it is also the one you're saying he owned it in the first place. He owned the chalav in the first place, or the truma, or whatever it is.
Well, we're talking about truma that he inherited from his grandfather.
He inherited from his grandfather?
Yeah, that's the case.
Yeah, but maybe
he inherited from his Zayda. His father was Israel. His mother was a Kohen, and Zayda on his mother's side was a Kohen, and he died, and he left truma, and the truma came into the possession of the Yenikel, and now the Yenikel ate the truma.
Right.
Why did Rashi go out of his way to say that? So in the Zayeno, which is the Habamin of understanding Rashi, we could come up with a really cogent, convincing answer why Rav Ashi Dafka formulated and structured it in the case where he ate his own truma. Why? Because if he ate Yenim's truma, that means he ate the Baal Shiraim's truma. That's classic Kimlei B'Rabbeinu. Rav Ashi's not adding anything. Well, what was the Chiddush of Rav Ashi? And Rashi goes out on a limb to say the Chiddush of Rav Ashi is that he argues with the principle of Mama Lezev and Nefash Lezev. Oh, you know what? That's going to be the case where he ate his own truma. So therefore, the Chiyuv Mis is because he ate his own truma. The Chiyuv Mamon is because he destroyed Yenim Shirayim. That's already a case of Mamon Lezeh and Misa Lezeh. Rav Ashi is teaching me a Gevaldik Chiddush that we're still going to apply Kimlei B'Rabbeinu and we're going to reject Rav.
But why did he have to have that case? Why didn't he just simply say that the one that's Ochel, he's Konev at the time that when he puts in his mouth, like we learned before. So it is always his truma. He's no different than if he inherited it, because once he's Konev and he chews it up, then he's Konev with a shino and he's not going to be able to return it, and it's his. So there's no reason. He's just pointing out to Rava that, Rav, you're mistaken when you say that it belongs to somebody else, because it never belongs to somebody else.
All right, but at least now, in this Eino, which he rejects only because of Tosfos Kasha, there is a cogent explanation as to why Rav Ashi mentioned this weird case where he ate his own truma. And the reason for that is because Rav Ashi wants to be Mechadesh that we don't hold from Misa Lezeh v'Tashlum Lezeh. We're not going to suspend Kimlei B'Rabbeinu, even though it's Misa Lezeh v'Tashlum Lezeh. Right? It's a Misa for eating my truma, and it's the moment for being ripping your shirayim. Nevertheless, we're still going to apply the principle of Kimlei B'Rabbeinu. That's the far-reaching Chiddush of Rav Ashi. Ella? So now we have to figure out how did Tosfos actually understand Rashi? Ela geder bazehu techol hecha shechiv hamisa hu bishvil shum adam bedover shebeino lechavero v'gam nischayiv mobili oso adam chashiv mamon unefashas lechad. Aval kshachiv misa hu lashamayim kigon achilas truma delo nischayiv misa bishvil shum adam el gal shamayim mikri vechiv mamon shum kriyas hashirayim is afilu begavna de hatruma vashirayim hem shel adam echad is chashiv mamon lezeh unefashas lezeh. Tosis understood that even if the truma would be owned by the Baal HaShiraim, there's only one person involved, it would still be Mamel Lezeh Unefashis Lezeh. And why? Because of what's called Ral HaShamayim. What's Ral HaShamayim? In the case of eating the truma, the Chiv Misa has nothing to do with the Baal HaTruma. We're not talking about stealing now. We're talking about Zoros. And that is called Ral HaShamayim. And in this case, he also ripped his shirayim, and that's called Rala Adam. Right? We have this phrase, Rala Shamayim, Rala Brios. In such a case, we have Mamon Lezeh, Unefashis Lezeh. The Nefashis is for the Rala Shamayim. The Mamon is for Rala Brios, Rala Chavero. Once you have those two, you and I would have said that, forget about Kim Lev Rav Minei. This is again a kind of an overlap. But there are two distinct chiyuvim, and they happen to have been incurred simultaneously. Well, you got to pay up for both chiyuvim. And you got to get misa for eating truma, which is Ral HaShamayim, and you have to pay the damages for ripping someone else's shirayim. Here's the gevaldik chiddush of Ravashi that Rashi's talking about. Then, that even in the case of Mamon Lezeh, Unefashis Lezeh, we will still apply the principle of Kim Lev Rav. So let's read it inside, and then we can try to discuss it. But first, let's make sure, as I always try to impress you, that we know the text. Ela hageder bazehu bechol hecha she'achiv misa hu bishvil shum adam bedavar shebeino lechavero im nischayev mamali oso adam. That's called classic. That's classic Kim Lev Rav. So again, if you're chayev, let's say you know when you put the knife into his heart, you rip his clothes, right? So you're chayev misa because you killed him. That's called benotably adam, and then you're chayev to pay tashlumin for ripping his shirt, and that's the same adam. That's called misa unefashis lechad, and that's your classic Kim Lev Rav. It's not that you beat up somebody. It's not that you killed him. Right? The classic case of Kim Lev Rav is by the Isha, right? That he kills the Isha, and then we say he doesn't have to pay Dmei Vlados. That's a Chiv Misa to an Adam. And now you rip someone else's Shirayim. So if you rip someone else's Shirayim, that's also considered. Leave out the word also. And that's considered Misa Lezeh Umama Lezeh. So again, if you kill somebody and you also damage that person, that's Misa Umama Lechat. Everybody see that clearly? That's the easiest part of the sugya. The one sentence that's crystal clear is the following sentence, that if he kills somebody and at the same time destroys his property, that's called Misa V'nefashos Lechad.
Why do you say that?
Because he's Chayav Misa because he killed this person, he's Chayav Misa, and he's Chayav Tashlum because he took his property.
The Misa doesn't belong to the...
Again, let's just see what he's saying. You don't have to agree with him. It's a Gavaldig Asfara. You don't have to like it. You killed a person, you're Chayav because you killed that person. That's what the Torah says. You want to say different philosophies? That's up to you. I'm going to go with what I think is the straight way of looking at it. You killed a person, you're Chayav because you killed that person. That person's Dam is yelling out from underneath the ground, like Hevel is yelling out to Cain, you deserve to die because you took my life. And at the same time, you ripped my shirt and you destroyed my property. That's called Misa Umamun Lechad. That to me is the clearest thing that we've ever had since we started this. So you want to argue with it? That's up to you. Okay, now, what happens in the case where he ate truma? He's a czar and he ate truma. It matters not Whether this truma is owned by this guy or that guy or any guy, or it's his own truma, it's irrelevant. Why? Because that's called a chiyuv misa l'shamayim. He's not chayav misa because he destroyed Yenim's truma, or it is his truma, it's not his truma. No, that's a chiyuv l'shamayim. You're chutz binyak, you're a czar and you eat truma. Who do you think you are? And therefore, lo nischayev misa b'shvil shum adam. It's not that the gorim of his death was because of Ploni Almoni who owns the truma. It has nothing to do with who owns the truma. It's totally irrelevant to the truma. That's what he calls rala shamayim. Oh, but the chiyuv mamon is because you destroyed his shirayim. That's already rala brios. That's already where the machayev is the adam. He has demands for compensation. In that case, afilu begavna that truma v'ashirayim shal adam echad, even if both the truma and the shirayim would be owned by one person, it would still qualify as misa lezeh umamin lezeh. Why? Because it's misa l'shamayim umamin l'adam. In such a case, we have a machlokes between Rava and Ravashi. Rava says that in that case where you have one misa for this and one moment for that, we're going to say both punishments will apply, and we don't apply Kimle and Rami. Counsel of Ravashi, and he says no. Even though it's misa l'shamayim because of the achilas truma, and it's mamon l'zeh because he owns the shirayim that you destroyed, nevertheless, we're going to apply Kimle and Rami. And why? Because Ravashi disagrees with Rava. At this point, we have no answer to the question, why did Rav Ashi mention that the truma belonged to this person who ate the truma? Let the truma belong to the Baal HaShirayim. It wouldn't make one iota of a difference. Rav Ashi's radical chiddush is still that, because it's mama lezeh or misa lezeh. It's misa l'shamayim because you ate truma. Whose truma it is, irrelevant. It's mama lezeh because you destroyed his shirayim, you have to pay him back for his shirayim. For her to knock at Ravashi, Gavna desar sha'ochal truma shalo, v'kara shirayim shal chaver, when in essence it's irrelevant. The factor that he's eating his own truma is totally irrelevant to the discussion about misa lezeh, mama lezeh. We couldn't care less who owns the truma, because the chiyuv misa is for zaros, not for destroying someone's truma. So, for example, let's say the thought occurred to me, if you hold Hanos Grono, let's say he would eat the truma and spit it out in such a way that it's still edible, if you had such a mitzvah, but it's still called an achila, he'd be chiyuv misa for achilas truma, because that's called misa l'shamayim. So why did Rav Ashi have to tell me that he's eating his own truma? You know, in the first pshat that we wanted to offer before Tosis, but we saw Tosis didn't hold for that pshat, therefore he asked the kasha from Madlikas Gedisha. It was very logical why Rav Ashi wanted to tell us that he's eating his own truma, because had he been eating the truma of the Baal HaShirayim, that would not come under misa l'zev umam l'zev. That would be classic Kim Levi the Rav Mine. But according to Tosis, why does Rav Ashi have to mention that the truma belongs to him? So he says the following. Who's he quoting? I don't know. Maybe the Shita and Kubetz, I'm not sure. He says the following. Lo Oruye Lan, Rav Ashi went out of his way to teach us, to clarify for us, this svirale mamal lezeh nefashas lezeh. So again, he's not telling me a chiddush in mamal lezeh nefashas lezeh, but he just wants to emphasize that I, meaning Rav Ashi, reject the principle of mamal lezeh nefashas lezeh. I still apply the kimei b'ramini to ilu, because havi nakat, if he would have mentioned that the truma and the shirayim were both owned by the same person, hayamakom latu litos, there could have been a misunderstanding here. The tava p'tur, the reason why he doesn't have to pay shirayim, who mishum dechashim b'chaygav the moment and fashis lechad, meaning we wouldn't have known Tosis as far of ra l'shamayim, that the chiyuv misa is l'shamayim. We would have said the chiyuv misa is to him because it's his truma that you ate. And if that be the case, it's Misa Nefashis L'chad. Because the reason he's Chayav Misa is because he ate his Truma, and the reason why he's Chayav Mamon is because he destroyed his Shirayim. It's all one person who's Machayav both. The Travayim Machmas Mamon Chaverohim Bon. If you look at the Heft of the Mamon, the haystack itself, or if you look at the Truma itself, he's Chayav for taking this guy's Truma and eating it. And that's called Mamon Lishneim. In other words, it's Chad. So therefore, we don't understand what we really have to understand, and that is that Rav Ashi completely rejected the principle of Misa Lezeh, Mamon Lezeh, because had it been formulated and couched in a case where it was owned by the Bala Shirayim, the Truma was owned by the Bala Shirayim, we would have come to the mistaken conclusion that's because Rav Ashi holds that it's Mamonu Nefashis Lechad. Therefore, Kamashmal Rav Ashi name, it's not Mamonu Nefashis Lechad. He's eating his own Truma, and he's destroying this guy's Shirayim. Umishem hachi hikshu Tosfos. Now we understand Tosfos kasha mimadlik sagodesh b'shabbos, right? Because again, the chi of misa is lashamayim, because he desecrated God's holy Shabbos, and the chi of mamon is li adam, because he lost his gadish, which was worth 1,000. And in such a case, Rava would no doubt have to say, according to Rashi at least, that he has to pay. Why does he have to pay? Because it's Misa Lezeh U'mamon Lezeh. And that's exactly Tosfos' kasha from Madlikas HaGodesh. If Rashi holds that when you're Chayev LaShamayim and then you're Chayev B'Nezikin LeAdam, that's called Misa Lezeh U'Nefashis Lezeh, therefore, according to Rava, we're going to be suspending Kibbutz Rabbani and imposing both Chiyuvim on it, then the same thing should apply in Madlik Adisha Shal Chavero. There's Rala Shamayim and there's Rala Brios. And in this case, we should apply the principle that he gets both punishments, according to Rava. What's Rava going to do with the Mishnah of Madlik Esagodesh? Ulam Tzarech Iyun Gosh. The Eich Efshel Lefarish came b'kavonis Rashi. Hare Rashi Atzmo lo kosav the Choshev Mamon Lezeh Nefash Lezeh Elbu Kim to the Ravashi. The Ma'ir Biochel Truma Karshi Ryan. Well, according to this understanding of Rashi, then why didn't Rashi mention Misa Lezeh, Mamon Lezeh, and all the cases that we had before of Truma and Chelev? All that should be under the category of Misa Lezeh, Mamon Lezeh. Why? Because it's Misa Lezeh because of Rala Shamayim. He ate Truma, he ate Chelev. And at the same time, he was mafsid someone is Mamon, because the Truma has value and the Chelev has value. It's Mutabah. And that would be a case of Misa Lezeh, Mamon Lezeh. So that means that the whole Sugya argues with Rava. Everything that we've had until now is against Rava. All of a sudden, Rashi woke up when he got to Rav Ashi and he tells us that Rav Ashi is against the principle of Rava of Misa Lezeh, Mamon Lezeh. Why didn't Rashi wake up a blot ago, or at least an omen ago, when we had all those ukimtas of Ochel Truma Shel Chavero? Because in those cases, according to Rashi's understanding of Rava, it should be Mamon Lezeh or Misa Lezeh, and he should get both punishments. Well, if he mashin is bayer gam bekai gavna, choshev Mamon Lezeh, and the chiyuv mamon is liyadam. V'al kein tzarech lechalik kechiluk ari be'maisa echad l'shnei maisim u'maisa kadalta d'tosfos. In other words, this is going to lead us to the riz chiluk between one maisa and two maisim. But what was the havamim of tosfos? So, Rabosa, I know we're going to start mincha soon. I also have to prepare for mincha, so we're going to stop. We're going to stop here, and I wish everyone a great Shabbos. You know, we're entering into a period of time called Bein HaMetzarim. We should be Zochem Yiras Hashem to the Geula Shleima, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash B'Karov. Kein Yiratzon Amen.